You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN. Phil Williams, like the dude just said, we are indeed solid, conservative, and just plain right. Heading into the final hour of the show right now, it's 4.07 p.m. I gotta pause for a second, though, before I bring on my next guest, and just take a second and say, you know, you guys got to hear about one of our latest team members. I'm pretty excited he's on board. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning serves Huntsville, Madison County, surrounding areas. Vandy's is your like one-stop shop for all of your HVAC repairs. It doesn't matter whether it's gas or electric. And the thing that's kind of cool, too, is they're open 6 days a week. So when the air goes out on a Saturday morning, you can call them. 6 days a week, that's pretty good. Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning. And by the way, those guys at Vandy's, they're not going to upsell you on things you don't need. In fact, one of the things they pride themselves on is they'll come out and give you a free estimate. So Vandy's is an owner-operated, veteran-owned business. James Vandergrift, the guy who owns the place, he listens to the show himself, he said every day, James, if you're out there, shout out to you. Thank you for being a veteran of the war in Afghanistan. We appreciate your service. And after serving his country overseas, James is now serving his country here, his community, really, with quality care and service for all of your HVAC needs. So here's the deal. If you need HVAC work, Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning, their number is 256-225-7311. That's Vandy's Heating and Air Conditioning at 256-225-7311. Tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. Hey, I'm going to go pick up right now a friend of mine from the Alabama Policy Institute, where I'm affiliated also, Justin Bogey. He's a director of fiscal analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute. Does a lot of great work there. We stole him away from the Heritage Foundation. He had also spent time in Montgomery and in Congress working on fiscal matters. And we're going to talk about a few things that are happening down in Montgomery. Hey, Justin, how you doing today, man?
Doing great. Great to be with you again, Bill.
Well, thank you. And yeah, I'll go straight to it. I guess if herding the goats on Goat Hill, everything starts next week in the legislature. Some of the bills are being pre-filed, and you've picked up on one that I didn't even see was out there. A bill by Senator Tim Melson from over in the Shoals, Senate Bill 14. It deals with selling agricultural property in Alabama to foreign nationals. Tell us about it.
Yeah, that's right. So basically this bill would ban any foreign national corporation, anyone basically affiliated with a foreign country from purchasing farmland in Alabama. And it's really not something that I've looked into a whole lot either, but it's a really interesting topic. Alabama has the third highest percentage in the U.S. of foreign-owned farmland, 6.1%. And this is really part of a broader national movement to block foreign countries from buying up U.S. farmland. And the way this is being presented is it's a way to protect the food chain supply, you know, to make sure if there's a food shortage down the road that foreign owners of agricultural land can't send that food back to their home country. But it also really raises an interesting question about, you know, is this government overreach? Should the government be able to tell you who you can sell your land to, or should you be able to, you know, utilize the free market and sell it to whoever wants to pay you the most money for it? So I think there's a really interesting kind of balance there between protecting the food chain and protecting personal rights.
Yeah, I would say so. I mean, so it's somewhat protectionist, obviously. And I got a question for you. I mean, one thing that occurred to me as I was reading your article, and maybe I missed it. If I did, I've got it right here in front of me. I always print them out, and I've got the paper with me. But I don't recall seeing it's just agricultural land. I mean, what happens if they want to buy raw acreage that used to be a farm and turn it into a manufacturing site? But does that qualify, or is it
yeah,
all
no,
raw
there's
land?
Yeah, there's no restriction in it in the current form of the bill. It's just strictly farmland. And, you know, I guess it would sort of depend on what your definition of farmland is. The USDA tracks all this, and they're supposed to be tracking sales of who's owning this land and what they're using it for exactly. But that data, it's been heavily criticized. There's some holes in the data. But the interesting thing in Alabama really is they're making this argument that this is to protect the food chain. But Alabama has about 1.8 million acres of farmland, according to the USDA. And almost all of that, all but 50,000 acres or so, is timberland. And my understanding is it's former international paper property. So, you know, it's really kind of, to me, it seems hard to make the argument that that's protecting the food chain if this is all timberland, really.
Well, and so, you know, one of the organizations that's typically fairly conservative because it represents who their base is, farmers, is the Alabama Farmers Federation. But they're quoted in the article you wrote as saying that they support this bill. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. And, you know, I think there's some other kind of outside things going on. They're worried about land prices being driven up. They're worried about it being harder for a small independent farmer to stay in business, or for people who want to get into the farming industry to do that, because they're being priced out by these these international companies coming in and buying up all the land. Is driving up land prices. But something interesting I found out in Ryan's article was that domestic purchasers of land, people who are doing it as an investment, people like Bill Gates, who have bought up a lot of farmland, also responsible for driving up prices. So it's really hard to pin it just on international buyers. It seems like domestic buyers who, you know, really have no intention to farm the land themselves are also part of the issue here.
Yeah, I would say. And you go back to your original point, too. Here's the thing, and folks, as we want people to be conservative, as we want to see not just Republicans, but conservative Republicans in office, you have to ask yourself, is it okay for the government to say who you're allowed to sell your land to and who you're not? Like, what happens then if, say, the family farm is, you know, the next generation doesn't want to farm it, they've got all this land, the value of it is, you know, is waning perhaps, and someone comes along from, you know, the Netherlands or wherever, and they say, we'll pay you top dollar for all that, and it's a windfall for your family, but now we've just passed this bill restricting your ability to sell it. That's kind of a rub.
Yeah, I think you also worry about when you have something like this, you know, potentially becoming law, is what's the next step? Who, you know, will they restrict me selling my house to somebody, or, you know, kind of more on the micro level? Once you give government this power, then, you know, they're probably not going to give it back, and they may look to expand it. So what's kind of the next step after that?
Yeah, totally good point. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, we need people to understand these second and third order effects. And, you know, Tim Melson, who I like Tim. I know Senator Tim Melson personally, and I enjoy his company. But he's also the one that sponsored that medical marijuana bill last year with complete disregard for the fact that that bill raised taxes and grew. It wasn't just about marijuana. It was about all kinds of things like raising taxes and growing government and infringing upon civil liberties. And yet they made it all about the sort of the headliner was got to have the medical marijuana. Well, they're doing that with this bill too, potentially by saying we're going to restrict China, which sounds great in a soundbite, but then you may have just restricted somebody's ability to sell what is rightfully theirs to sell.
And there's this big push nationally to restrict China and Russia and a couple other countries specifically. But at least in Alabama, you know, there's China owns such a small percentage of the land in Alabama that it doesn't even show up in the database. I mean, it's the Netherlands and the UK and Canada who are the leading buyers of Alabama farmland. So if you're to make the argument that we're protecting ourselves from China, then I don't think that flies. Now, if they can prove there's some kind of legitimate risk here, and there's really a national security or the security of Alabama at stake by selling farmland to international buyers, then maybe there's a different discussion. But just from the evidence that I've seen, that's not the case right now.
Yeah. And I would almost think that would have to involve some level of State Department sanctions or something like that before. But anyway, well, we'll see where it goes, man. Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that one. That's a weird bill. But I agree with you. It's got some conservative street cred on one hand, and it's got some ain't no conservative street cred on the other. So we'll see what happens.
Right.
Hey, there was another bill that I asked you to sort of think about or get ready to talk about, and we got a few minutes here before the next break. So yesterday or day before, I had Lieutenant Governor Will Ainsworth on. His Small Business Commission has got a package that I don't think anything's been dropped in yet. No pre-file bills that I'm aware of. But one of the ones he said that he was considering was a bill to do away with the business privilege tax, which I've always said is like paying for the right to be allowed to do business. I would love to see the legislature finally give a true tax cut to somebody, especially in the wake of all the extensive revenues they've been picking up over the last couple of years. But tell us, I mean, you sent me an email with some stats on it. I mean, we're looking at, am I correct in saying that if they did away with the business privilege tax, it would be $172 million hit to the bottom line. Is that right?
That's right. And I actually went back and looked at the numbers for the most recent numbers, and they're about $186 million. So it went up a little more this year. And it goes about half and half to state government and then to local and county governments. So it'd be close to a $200 million hit to the bottom line. But again, I think this would be just one way that you could start giving back money or taking less money from businesses. And, you know, a lot of people, you're a businessman, a lot of people are still struggling from the pandemic, so this will be a small way to help them. You know, obviously we'd like to see something a little broader that helps everyone in Alabama, not just businesses, but I think if this is part of a larger package of tax reform, that this would be something good to do.
Yeah, I totally agree. He had a couple of other ones in there. That's the one that piqued my interest most on the interview we did. So I guess we'll watch for that bill too, see if they drop it in. Go ahead.
Yep. We may get into this more, but the House conservative, the GOP caucus yesterday or a couple of days ago released their agenda for the legislative session, and they had a bill, you know, kind of aimed at small business relief that would exempt the first $40,000 worth of property value from being taxed. So it would be a personal property tax cut, basically. I was looking into that a little bit, and to me it looks like, you know, if you go by the average property tax rate in Alabama, it would only save businesses maybe $130, $140 a year. So I think
small tax,
getting rid of that would really help people more.
I agree. Well, hold more of that. Keep your powder dry on that one for a minute. We're going to take a quick break here, Justin. Can you hang on through the break and we'll come right back? Is that good?
Sure.
Yeah, all right, Justin Bogey from the Alabama Policy Institute, Director of Fiscal Analysis. He knows numbers better than anybody else, and he can follow where the money goes in the state. He's also been reviewing legislation, and we'll talk about a little bit more of that when we get back from the break. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. You got to know what's happening in Montgomery. I think sometimes it affects us more than D.C. does. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, before I go back to Justin Bogey, let me just tell you real quick, too. I was out at Otter Creek Farm this morning, had one of our listeners called and said, I'm going out there to check and see about that place for a corporate retreat because I hear you talking about it on the radio all the time. So I said, you know what? I'm going with you. So got up early, went out there, 25 degrees, but boy, it was beautiful. Oh my gosh, it was gorgeous. And just toured the facilities, let them see everything, talked to Tamara out there who does all the scheduling and everything else, and I think they're going to wind up having a corporate retreat there on site. I was really kind of impressed because there was a group going out hunting. They had a pheasant hunt that all the guides were taking them out. They'd already done their morning safety brief, and they were all, you know, headed out there with the guides, the guns, the dogs. They were going to do their wing shooting, which is what they're known for. But their facilities are so incredible. They've actually set up these beautiful rooms where you can sit there and have the environment that Otter Creek brings, and yet you got big screen TVs on the wall where you can show your slides for your meetings and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, it's going to work out pretty good. Otter Creek Farm. Check them out. OtterCreekFarmstead.com is the website. OtterCreekFarmstead.com. You'll be amazed when you look at it right here in North Alabama. All right, going back to the phones with Justin Bogey, Director of Fiscal Analysis over at the Alabama Policy Institute. Justin, by the way, I forgot to mention that article you wrote about the property to foreign buyers was on 1819 News, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because the next article I'm looking at also comes from 1819 News, and you kind of referenced where we were headed there. So the House GOP caucus did unveil their, they call it the Standing Tall for Alabama agenda. Now, you mentioned that there is one thing there which I had not caught, but you're right. I see it written up in this 1819 write-up. They're looking at, you know, reducing or exempting the first $40,000 of business personal property tax. Well, I guess that's a tax cut. But other than that, there's no other tax cuts that we know about in this agenda. Am I right?
You're exactly right. And there's no mention of budget cuts, you know, reining in state spending, which is, we've had record budgets this whole quadrennium. Really, no. And again, I think this is a very, you know, small tax break in the grand scheme of things. Nothing bigger. Nothing that would really impact all Alabamians. Notably missing, you know, I thought was getting rid of the grocery tax. That's something that has bipartisan support. There's bills out there from Democrats and Republicans to get rid of the grocery tax. That would help everyone immediately, but that didn't make the list. Lots of other things that didn't make the list.
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, one of the things that didn't make the list too is school choice. You know, right, at the Alabama Policy Institute, we've been very hot on the concept of school choice. And here we are dropping the number 50 in the nation, 52 in math. And yet the legislature still does not have any school choice measures outlined to try and do things differently than what we've been doing.
Yeah, and this is in the context of the K-12 education is already asking for another $800 million in the 2023 budget that they'll vote on in the upcoming session. So basically, we just continue to dump more money into this problem without really making reforms that are going to, you know, change academic outcomes or give students more choice as to where they go to school. If they want to leave a failing school and go to a better school, there's really not a whole lot of options for them right now. So, you know, I think given all the problems that we have and how much money has flown into education without really improving results, that it's kind of head-scratching that there's not bigger reforms on education included.
Yeah, totally agree. You know, there's a number of things that are in there, and so the Alabama Policy Institute just came out today, literally today, with the conservative platform. Basically, the things that we would hope that everybody who's intending on coming back or running for the legislature would sort of comport themselves policy-wise with these things. And that's available on the alabamapolicy.org website, if I'm not mistaken. Am I right?
Yeah, it's up there now, and really a lot of this is kind of more of to us a big picture, you know, what they should do this year, but in future years, a longer term vision of how we can make the state better for everyone, not just kind of looking. You know, I think the problem with the House GOP agenda to me is that it's very short term. It's kind of just getting through this session and thinking about reelection and those kind of things. Whereas our vision is much more long term. You know, what can we do to help businesses and future, to help individuals in the future, to really make the state more free market, things like that. So, you know, I think there's a lot of good ideas in there that I would hope anyone, you know, who's already elected and running this year or other candidates would look to.
I agree. Hey, Justin, thanks for your time, man. You have a great weekend. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. All right, Justin Bogie, Director of Fiscal Analysis at the Alabama Policy Institute, your conservative think tank here in this state. You hear him advertise on the show all the time. That's where I came from to start this show. And folks, I'm just telling you, if you want to know more about the issues and get deep in the weeds, they've got the stuff for you to read. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. Hey, you want to call in? Call in after the break, 866-494-9866. We'll be right back.